We are recording.
Good morning. It is Thursday, August the 1st. Time is 11:10 a.m. We are convening a meeting of the Leon County Research and Development Authority. This time I'll call the meeting to order. We'd like to introduce our guests, and I would ask that for the record, each guest please identify their name so they may be properly recorded as attending.
Stephanie Shulane with NAI Calcor.
Lori Campbell with NAI Calcor.
Anybody else? I don't see anybody else. Okay, good. Any modifications to the agenda at this time?
I think the only thing we need to do is take a vote to approve Krista's participation by telephone.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion by like sign.
Thank you all.
Good morning.
We have recognition of retiring board members. Some of you know that Kim Williams has recently decided that he was just too committed and other things to continue in his role. I think it has something to do with the fact that he was about to become chair.
At any rate,
he has offered his letter of recognition of resignation. Who else?
Mr. Dean.
Paul, I want to forget that Paul is going to be. You know, there's good news about Paul. Paul has accepted a significantly larger responsibility with the Danfoss Corporation. Takes him out of Tallahassee.
Congratulations.
We're happy for Paul. We're sad that his expertise on this board is going to be missed.
Yeah.
We have enjoyed that relationship. So the two of these members... We reluctantly accept their letter of resignation. Boy, that word won't come to me.
We don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. The plaques are in process.
Yep.
We'll have those.
Paul, take a minute and tell us a little bit about your new role.
Well, right now, I'm going to be heading up. Danfoss TurboCourse is part of what Danfoss calls the cooling division, one of the four large segment cooling divisions. And so I'm going to start working again for the cooling division. I'm going to have responsibility for global procurement for the cooling division. So I have responsibility for all of North America and South America spending.
Well, that will keep you busy.
Yep.
Wow.
You're going to get a few extra flying bonus points, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably too many.
Will you be able to continue your residence in Tallahassee?
Yes, I will, but I'll just be on the road about 75% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for supporting Tallahassee.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You are flying out of Tallahassee.
Yes.
Well, Paul, we're going to miss you. Again, mm-hmm. Thank you for what you have contributed to our organization. Thank you for what you've contributed to Danfoss here locally.
Yeah. Yeah.
This project out here continues to grow. It continues to be something this community takes a great deal of pride in. I really look forward to, after you get this building built, you begin to exercise options on the next facility and start another one. Anything you can tell us about that? Probably not, but anything you want to tell us?
No, I'll tell you what Danfoss is looking at. Obviously, additional expansion opportunities. And Tallahassee remains a prime spot for us to maybe do some other things in the very near future. So it's just not public knowledge right now, but we are looking for opportunities.
It is now.
It just got recorded.
Well, it's not any detail.
And where is your group cooling located in the U.S.?
France.
In France?
Really?
That's where the division is located.
So the division located in France, but you'll be responsible for North and South America.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just returned from France. It's very hot over there.
You don't have AC.
Exactly.
I have a feeling they'll be selling a lot more in the future.
Yeah.
Modifications to the agenda. I think we said there were none. At this point in time, is there any public comment to come forth? Hearing none, you have received a copy of the draft minutes of the June 6th meeting. Chair has reviewed those. They appear to be accurate. If you have suggestions for modifications, revisions, omissions, please signify by saying so.
Move approval.
Second.
Approval seconded. Any further? Hearing none. Motion carries. You have also received in your packet the consent agenda.
Move consent.
Move to consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, motion carries. Next is the proposal.
You might want to take a vote.
Okay. Take a vote. Those in favor of approving consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign, motion carries. We have before us a staff recommended janitorial services contract. We would ask at this point in time the executive director to comment on it.
I'm having a little issue here. I'm looking at the minutes, and what I see is the March minutes that were attached in the packet. Am I missing something?
Yes.
So you're looking at the IBTLH agenda.
Okay.
Instead of that comes later.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, member satisfied?
No. I'm sorry. What day? When was it sent and by whom? Because I'm not finding the link quickly.
Oh, for the agenda.
Packet.
I don't remember. Peggy sent it or
something.
Yeah, Peggy sent it on Wednesday, the 31st.
Okay.
Okay, I gotcha. Gotcha. They were one by one next to each other. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Meet your satisfaction, or do you want to read it?
No, I'm good. Okay. I've looked at it. I just couldn't find it.
Okay, we have on the floor then a discussion of the janitorial services contract. I'll call on our executive director to present that.
We had an issue with our current provider. We weren't satisfied with their service, and as you know from the past, that can get ugly quickly. So we decided to go out to RFP, even though we had a couple option years left on it. We got three responses. You can see on the screen that the M&J was the lowest bidder. We only have a small concern in that they're a very small entity, but that's mitigated by the fact that the principal person who's going to be doing the work is the one who used to do the work when we had no problems. So that company went out of business. He and his wife decided to start up a new business. They're doing work now for NWRDC, who contracted with them independently because they like what they did. If you recall, Michael is his name. Anyway, so we recommend approval of the contract with M&J. They satisfy all the requirements of it.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Motion made, second. Any further discussion? Those in favor of awarding the contract to is it Julie Ross Dilworth and Juanita?
Juanita Ross Dilworth.
Okay. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign, motion carries. Next is a discussion of the results of the compensation committee, their conclusions and recommendations. Call again on the executive director comment.
I'll refer to the chair of the committee.
Sure. Thank you for entrusting us with the opportunity. The committee itself included myself as a governor as well as Paul, along with folks that we identified from the community and one from the county. So collectively, we reviewed all of the compensation policies related to LCRDA, and what we discovered, and you see it there in bold, these were the April as well. What we discovered through the process, there were some opportunities for additions to be made. What we sought to align ourselves with was what was already available through the county and build on that. And making sure that we had things in place, such as the travel. We didn't have a travel policy to address the travel that happens here. Phone allowance for those that required it, as well as those benefits that came by way of specific programs that the county had and honestly would not result in a number of high costs to the LCRDA for taking those on. Those that did carry a cost with them, we've identified in bold, minimal, as a B, the first one being staff benefits for basic life insurance. That would be an estimated addition to our budget of $3,500 to do that. The next one would be medical insurance for current employees. That one, $669. And then the other, we have some that's identified that we would make available but would certainly be attached to the employee taking those on. Specific to the LCRDA, I'll skip down to items F, G, and H. Those also carry a price tag as well. All in all, we're looking at, what is it, around $6,000 that in order to bring our compensation policy in alignment with what we believe would allow us to retain top talent and also take advantage of what the county offers, is what we're putting forward to you all. Now, there were also some recommendations for policy changes, and those policy changes, just to chew that up, and John's going to pull those up for us. There was language in there that talked about comp time. We have, in essence, removed the comp time piece, recognizing that for a full-time employee, we all know with that there'd be the ability. We wouldn't have comp time being earned there. We do have annual and sick leave that's approved. We also built in there, Ron, if you'll go forward.
This one reflects the change for the value-based contribution, which is similar. It's an option for health insurance, similar to what the county has. So they're discounting premiums or sharing because of that.
I
can't
think of anything other big thing that jumps out.
It's the sick pay.
Oh, sick, yeah, sick pay, yeah. The payout.
Yeah. See if I can go back. Oh, there it is. There, it's this week right here.
Okay, this is a policy that we wanted to make sure that employees could accrue time, but we also wanted to be fair with ourselves and not have it open-ended and unlimited in terms of the payout of what one could have in place. So
At termination.
So much like with state or public institutions, there is an amount, there's a set amount. In this one, we've identified 25% as what's being recommended that a person, based on their tenure, that we would reimburse them at. And we've also identified a cap. We did not have a cap in the number of hours like most institutions or organizations have in place, too. We agreed at the three-year point of service because, and recognizing, honestly, what we've seen here with our current staff, some organizations have gone to as many as 10 years, but we're like, okay, you already have the cap number, so you really didn't need to go that far with it. Other changes that we have in there, Ron, if any?
Yeah, most of these just reflect the other sheet.
The other benefits,
just
yeah.
Implementing those.
All in all, I'd say to you that it was a comprehensive process. There were three meetings. Everybody was engaged. Everybody contributed. We looked outside our system as well, but part of the other parts that make up our ecosystem to compare and contrast, as well as looked at what the opportunities were that we could give back to this great staff that we have and not put us at risk on the financial side. So all in all, bottom line, about $6,000 if you're looking at it from a monetary side, but the value add that you'll see in this for staff, I think that they'll be very appreciative of the changes that we've made. And the committee would recommend that as we go forward, that at least on a 3-year window, that this group would convene again to look back at our policies just as a best practice. And that concludes my report.
John, I'll get to you just a minute. Kim, I want to thank you and your committee for really, it appears to be some real in-depth study of this. Identify all the members of your committee.
So it was April, there was, of course, Paul, there was Sherry Marson with the county, and then Linda Barino as an outside HR professional.
Good, mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Paul is a member of the committee. Anything you'd care to add?
No, I think it was pretty flawless. I think Kim did an excellent job leading us, and we got through it very efficiently each day.
Absolutely. Did a great job. Thanks,
Kimberly. April, anything you care to add?
No, I think it was a good process, and I think we added some value for the employees by piggybacking with the county. I thought we came away with some really good additions that don't cost as much.
So. John, you have the floor?
Yeah, great job. Move the item.
Items moved?
Can I move the recommendation?
Can I make a comment?
Comments.
One thing that I would ask is that the effective date of each of the benefits be dependent upon the practical time it takes to implement. We're not prepared to start this today. So I'm going to have to contract with someone, for example, to write the Section 125 plan document and things like that. So it may take a little time to implement.
Could we shoot for the October 1 change of year as an implementation date?
I think it might be December 1 or January 1 on a couple of items, depending on whether it's a calendar year issue or a fiscal year.
Okay, we just ask the staff they move diligently.
Correct.
Staff will move diligently.
Let me take a moment to again acknowledge our staff we have. I don't know that I could have assembled a better team than we have. Mm-hmm. I look around the room, I see professionals, I see people who are engaged. I am very, very excited about who we have on this team. Mm-hmm. It is important that we do the things that are necessary to say to them, we appreciate you, we like what you're doing, we hope you like working here because we like you being here every morning. Motion's on the floor. There's a second. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Quick question. I concur with everything you've said. This is one more of those steps in the process, and I appreciate the committee. This is the best, I think, approach to our employee benefits that I've ever seen for the organization. Ron, is there anything else that we need to work on the county side? I'm really glad there was participation and more willingness to extend county programs. Is there anything that can help improve it on our side, or do you think that relationship's working
well? Well, I think the key was having someone from the county on the committee, and Sherry's, I think, going to help us implement some of this to the extent she can. She can't help with the Section 125. That has to be for our organization alone, but as far as piggybacking on their benefits, I don't think that's going to be difficult at all.
Okay. Well, just for the record, Mr. Chair, I want to send a thank you to the county administrator. He supported having a county staff person on the committee, and any support the county staff could give ongoing. So that was really great. Thank you all.
Thank you, Kristen. Okay, there's a motion on the floor. That's a second. Call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Again, congratulations, Kim, for your hard work and for the members of your team. Thank you so much. All right, now we're talking about the quarterly bio lease, or query bio lease.
Okay, quarterly bio, they're actually, the legal name is Reclaim Pharmaceutical Waste Management, Inc. I think that's what it says on the lease.
Oh, yeah.
They like Quarry Bio because it's shorter. They are a company. It's run by a trailing spouse of an FSU professor. And since he's been down here, we've had a lot of contact with him. He's a past Tech Grant winner. And he is looking to set up shop in our lab in the Collins building, about 1,070 square feet, at $17 a foot. He is not looking to join the incubator that we're starting, but definitely needs the lab space.
Move recommendation.
Second.
Motion's made. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. You've heard the proposal. You've heard the motion and second. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Collins lab budget, floor repair and tile replacement.
Well, one of the conditions of getting this tenant into the building was to
move recommendation.
We have a few other expenses in there in addition to the flooring. We've in full disclosure, they started stripping the tile off yesterday. We were anticipating having the executive committee approve it before we started, but we had to move, so we did it. So thank you for approving. So the other things we're dealing with right now are trying to get the fume hoods running. Mm-hmm. If you recall, when we did the building study, they said that those fume hoods were not up to code. They weren't usable. We've had somebody come out, look at them, and he thinks that they will be, and he's somebody who certifies them. So I think for a few dollars, I think we're going to be able to resurrect those.
Motion for.
Motion's on the floor. Is there a second?
Second. Yeah.
Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Collins furniture and relocation expenses.
This is part of the package?
This is the relocation of us. So we spent $160,000 to renovate the portion of the building. Mm-hmm. That renovation will be complete on Monday. We're planning to do our move August the 22nd, not April. We need some furniture. So
yeah, move the
item. I'm moved.
I like him on the board.
Yeah. Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries.
Krista, did you have...
Sure. Oh, I was just going to take a moment to say, Ron, excellent job. You've been working on the Collins Building and your team, having everyone for so long. So we have a move-in day. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to our next board meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. The fun part now, election of officers.
So I know it's not Kim. The other Kim. Yeah.
The other
so,
Kim.
So got out of that rotation.
Well, unfortunately, we had planned on anointing Kim Williams. Our chair, Kim Williams, has resigned. That leaves the vice chair position open. Term of my office is over, so I will, at that point, my term expires. Technically, the secretary's term expires, treasurer's term, well, we don't have a secretary, treasurer's term. All those positions are now vacant, in essence, beginning October 1.
Wow.
So we got to fill all those positions,
mm-hmm.
and chair is opening the floor for comment and discussion. We start with Kristen, who's the furthest away.
I'm sorry. Nice way to put me on the spot there. Comment and discussion, Mr. Chair, is that what you wanted?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm not sure exactly where you want to start with the discussion. I appreciate your service. I understand Kim Williams' choice. Appreciate his service as well, of course. I have to admit that thinking about this recently, it brought me back to conversations about whether or not, I mean, who is officers, how many board members we have. This is just a heavy burden. We know it's a lot of work for a few people. So I'm not sure if that's the discussion you wanted, Mr. Chair, but that's what's been on my mind. Were you hoping that I put someone on the spot as a nomination?
Do what now? Say that again.
Were you hoping I would nominate someone?
Well, no, I'm just opening up for discussion, but you certainly are permitted, if you'd like to nominate someone, to do so. And that includes you, if you'd like to nominate yourself.
And if I can add, I've had conversations with virtually every board member. In the past, it was always confined to the private sector folks. That was... It's not in the bylaws that way. It's just the way it's been in practice. But I've had conversation with all of the private sector folks remaining, of which there are only four.
Mm-hmm.
Anna served. Dave has served. April has been treasurer. And Ray just got on the board. Ray said he cannot. April has agreed to continue as treasurer. But we have no one who is interested in being in the private sector folks. Interested in being either chair or vice chair. So that leaves everyone else.
Mr. Chair, I would, if I could make one other comment.
Yes, ma'am.
In addition to private sector or public appointments, we've had a conversation about our higher ed representative, CCC Fannie HSSU, whether or not you all want to or should serve. You're kind of in a little different position as appointments from the presidents of the individual institutions. So I would love to hear from you all if you're interested or not. If not, I guess I'm kind of amazed I'm about to say this, but Mr. Mayor, you and I would be the obvious people that Ron didn't mention in his list. And
dual office won't stay well.
I don't know how everyone else feels about this.
You would have to have a legal opinion,
you know,
that would convince me that
it's
a leadership position.
Focus for a year. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's good, but it may not be exactly what we want. So I toss that out.
Yeah, Kristen, sure.
I'm just saying, now that I'm on, I'm conscious of that. I've never served in leadership.
Kristen, I don't know if, did you hear the question?
It's a quasi-judicial.
No.
It's a quasi-governmental.
It's, the question was whether or not there's an issue with being a dual office holder.
No.
Legally, whether there's, I know Kristen has served as our chair. At the same time, she's serving on a commission. So.
Yeah, just like any other board appointment, that's how I've taken it, John. We never had any issues when I served as chair.
But probably something to just to confirm.
I'm not interested. Okay.
Yes.
And that's why I did call you.
Kim, I think you would do a fantastic job as chair. I really would. And you have served in leadership before, and I would ask you to consider stepping up to the plate.
There's a discussion on the floor.
I mean, we're good enough friends. Just say, yeah, Daly, I'm not interested. Or, I mean, what are your druthers? Because after you, I go to Eric. And then
Eric,
we just,
there.
We just go around the table.
That looks like an attractive spot for you.
Eric has served as vice chair.
Yeah, I was going to say, Eric has been a vice chair.
I would have to say that clearly the responsibilities of chair would make it very difficult for me based upon all the other things, irons in the fire that I have. But the vice chair is certainly a less impactful thing. I suspect I could sell that to Gary.
I was going to sell that to me.
Oh.
But go ahead.
I could sell it to you, too. It's just that, obviously, the chair position is so much more time-consuming, and in order to do it right, really needs to have a significant amount of attention, and I don't believe I have that ability to do that.
Well, I'll make one comment regarding the chair's time. I came into position thinking I would be required to spend a great deal of time, and maybe I should have spent more than I have, but I will tell you that this staff is so good and so efficient and so thorough that the best thing I was able to do is stay out of the way. We have a very, very good staff here that runs hard, thinks ahead of the board, is prepared to discuss issues that the board is just now thinking about. So, if you're worried about how much time it will take, be pleased to know that the staff is really on top of everything.
I'll ask a question. How many meetings? I mean, so it's executive committee that the chair would have?
Yes, it's the six board meetings. It's usually probably seven or eight executive committee meetings. And actually, after that, it's fewer meetings than actually the treasurer. The treasurer has the most meetings to really go to, because they go to all the exec meetings and the budget and the audit. And
the term of service?
Well, that's... Dave was pushed for 2 years, but... And the last two chairs have served 2 years, but the challenge is going to be...
Your last three, I think, chairs served 2 years.
Kristen served 3 years.
Well, okay, at least two. At least two.
The question is, who do we get in the pipeline?
Correct. That's
and typically the vice chair role, that's what you do. That's what we did with Kim, expecting that he would be ready.
Exactly.
And
he was ready, just not.
He was his other ready. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, the question is going to be if, you know, who's going to, if it's April next year or the year after.
If Mexico Beach is back up and running,
yes. Then if and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if she were to be considered as future chair, she'd have to go to the
vice chair. Exactly.
Chair. You'd actually have fewer meetings to go to.
As long as I'm not chair, I'm fine to serve in the officer role.
Yeah, and then the other issue is that we have two vacancies on the board right now, so those will hopefully get filled in September, and bringing those folks along hopefully in a year or two, they'll be ready for that as well.
Review with us the names that have presented themselves for consideration.
I don't have all of that on the tip of my tongue, but there is one question I wanted to ask about one of the applicants for the board, but I thought I'd save that for after the officer election.
Okay, comment?
Yeah.
It sort of feels like that Kim would be willing to serve as our chair. I put words in your mouth, but
yeah.
I didn't hear
yeah.
you shake your head no.
So I'm not in opposition. I would like to look at it with 12 months and a for sure vice chair in the loom, because who knows? I might like it so much. I'm like, hey, stay.
Hey,
years.
I'm all for it.
I just don't want to box myself in, but I could certainly. I mean, 12 months is.
Well, am I hearing April's willing to be vice chair?
And there's one other issue to consider,
no.
And that is the terms of the private sector folks.
All right, how? Oh.
And I, off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember what your term.
I think it is up next year.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think you, Ann, and Ann just got appointed. Your position's up, yours is up, and
I don't know of any person who has served on this board that suggested they wanted to remain, that the county had left them in position. So I think even though there might be a term consideration out there, my thought is we'd go ahead and pick the best people, believing that the county would again reappoint them for that position.
So if April were vice chair, then Eric, would you be willing to be treasurer? As I just said, that the treasurer attends more meetings. Sorry, I said that.
I'm thinking of expertise.
Yeah.
And it would be far more reasonable for April to remain as chairman should she be willing to do so.
As treasurer?
Yeah. Or, yeah, as treasurer. The vice chair, I did it previously on kind of an emergency basis. I can certainly probably do that again. Yeah. But I think that would make the most sense.
It's
practically
fine.
Practically,
it
really doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm hearing a consensus beginning to build for Kim, chair, Eric, vice chair, and April treasurer.
I'll move that slide.
There's a motion for that. Now, is there a second for that?
Second.
Come on.
Second, or you get a spot. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Boy, this sounds fun. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I'm thrilled there's consensus, but I didn't hear what the slate was. It was hard to hear you all through all the laughing.
Let me repeat that for you. The slate would have Kim serving as chair, Eric as our vice chair, and
April.
All of a sudden, draw a blank. As our treasurer to repeat as treasurer.
Wonderful. Thank you all. To do that. Like I said, it was a little hard to hear, but that sounds like a wonderful place. Thank you.
Okay, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by like sign.
Thank
motion
you.
Carries.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I look forward to handing you the gavel. Do you want it now?
No, I think it's October, right?
October 1.
Yes. There we go.
Okay, marketing plan discussion. Boy, I will really once again compliment Denise Bilbo for being a young lady not necessarily having grown up in this industry. She's jumped in here and has learned a great deal about what we need to be doing and comparing it to what others are doing. We've asked Denise to make a presentation of her marketing proposal to us. Denise, you have the floor.
I don't know where Ron is, but probably getting the clicker. Just kind of an outline. This is just a draft. What we talked about in the strategic planning meeting in December was to come up with a marketing plan to attract three new companies by the end of December 2021. So this is just kind of the outline, and I'd like to get some feedback from you guys on this. So the research and discovery of how I decided to come up with these tactics was based on our meeting, the market research analysis that I presented in December, and then I've also met with the Office of Economic Vitality. So we have two separate targets that we're going to be reaching out to, one for the overall research park and then one for the incubator tenants. Now for the overall research park, I'm thinking that we're going to piggyback on OEB's targeted sectors. I'm focusing mainly on applied science and innovation. Specific industries that I've talked to OEB with include MRI, manufacturers, medical devices, aerospace materials, space materials. Basically, the centers of excellence and organizations that are already here, we're going to target those people who could benefit by partnering with these people and using their assets. Incubator tenants, This will be more of a Michael focus, but I will support him in helping to attract companies with protected intellectual property, capital, having a business plan, good people in their management team, their mission and operations, making sure that they all fit within what we're looking to do in our incubator and in the park in general. So, like I said, our objective based on the strategic planning meeting was to attract three new companies by doing the marketing plan. We wanted to develop clear targets that are both innovative and stable. We want to document the research and development assets in the park, going to each organization and figuring out what they have, developing more events now that we're going to be having some event space, looking at LCRDA's incentives, understanding the local incentives, and then also working with OED. So some of our strategies I've broken down into six sections. Own media, we're going to continue with our social media, and we're going to be adding more information in our digital. I'm going to get to tactics after I talk about the overall. Paid media, advertising when appropriate, and then the sponsorships. And then events of the ones that we already have are Tech Grant, Tech Topics, eClub, and then other entrepreneurial programs that Michael is working on. We're also going to work on earned media and developing actual story pitches and guidelines that we can go out to the media with, press releases, and being media ready when the time comes. We also have existing materials that we can update when needed, such as the marketing booklets. We have information about all the different tenants already here. We're going to constantly need to be updating those. And then supporting OED's efforts, because they're going to be doing a lot of direct outreach with the work that they're doing. So some new tactics based on the strategies that I've talked about. I want to develop a comprehensive list of all the assets in the park. And we're going to have to work with FAMU, FSU, and even TCC, being able to be in close proximity, understanding what is actually here in the park, and putting it on our website. This can be through different ways. I want to do an entire page that kind of just has a list of everything here. And then also developing a form that people, if they're interested in one of the kind of equipment or organizations, they can reach out to us, and then we can kind of funnel it to the universities. That way, we're kind of a middleman. We can see what's going on without actually being completely involved. I also want to develop a blog on our website, because I think that could be a really good way to target some of the industries OEB is working with. For instance, some of the work that MagLab's doing with NIH, that can go into MRI manufacturing, different things. So I'd like to actually do some research behind it and talk to them and get some keywords in there so that when these types of companies are looking, they can find us. We are also working with Domi. Michael has been doing a great job with a mentorship piece within the entire community. Domi has kind of created an inventory, and we're going to start working on having events. But this is a partner-wide, and then we have a specific Innovation Park mentor list that we're working with. Some other things we'd like to do is consider promoting some of OEB's marketing initiatives. For instance, they have the Magnetics Capital of the World rollout that they've been working on. We could change some information on our website to kind of tweak it. That way the messaging is consistent within everything that we're doing. Other continuing tactics that we'll work on and start getting stronger with is continuing with the development of social media calendars and postings, make it more engaging. And I think once we get more information on the research assets and stuff, we can also start adding that to our social media as well. Hosting and promoting events. We have Tech Topics. We host 3 times a year. I'd like to up that to even 5 or 6 times a year, probably 5, and then we'd skip the summer. But we can highlight a lot more of what's actually going on in the park. There's a lot of really cool stuff going on. So now that we have our space, we might as well utilize it a lot more. Develop paid media when needed. So when we have sponsorships, if we have ads that need to be done. I know for Small Business Week, I had to create an ad. So just whenever those things are needed, we can do that. Sponsorships, and then public relations efforts. I know there's a lot of news coming out that we can start writing press releases about, so we'll just continue with that. In regards to metrics, I would suggest what I can do is do a monthly or bi-monthly kind of report of social media PR looking back, and assessing what's working, what isn't working. We can do it through Google Analytics. I can do it through even just the social media stuff. We can look at revenue, social media, and then also evaluations if we do get interest. And then lastly, I'm trying to do this on the cheapest budget as possible because I know that we don't have a lot of money. But it would be helpful for, you know, maybe promoting social media posts when we have events or when we're trying to get tech grant applicants, kind of saying, hey, want to win $25,000 in Lehigh County? Tell us what it is. Also, PR, other events, direct marketing, advertising, blogs and research would just be really more my time. And then reputation management if things ever occurred.
What?
And that is it for me. Let me know what your feedback is. It's kind of what I have started.
Job well done. I bet you made all A's in school.
What?
I bet you made all A's in school.
No, I didn't.
Oh, wow. Comments, questions, suggestions.
Good job.
Great job.
Yeah, I thought comprehensive. I think it's a great foundation to continue building out on and look forward to being engaged with it. Yeah.
Is this an informational piece or do you need a motion?
I think it's information.
Informational.
Yes. Thank you again, Denise. I appreciate you very much. Chair's report, we do have vacancies coming up. We have a process in place. I will unfortunately be out of town. I am one of the members of the nominating committee. We have reached out, the county has, to see if Ann could be sitting in my place. They have accepted that as a proposal. So Ann will be our board representation on the nominating committee. Let's discuss who all we think have submitted their names as being interested.
Well, one of the things we did is we asked Dan Foss to put a candidate forward. Even though we don't have a seat designated for Dan Foss, clearly having Paul on the board has been very beneficial, and we would see benefit in continuing that relationship. Of course, it's still up to the nominating committee and to the county commission to make that appointment. But we've also had... I think Bill Holloman's name is still under consideration. There are a couple of other, I think, either retired or current FSU professors who have applied. And then the one that I really wanted to discuss is Kevin Graham has applied. And he called me before he did. He's the director of the FSU Real Estate Foundation. And so, you know, very, very heavy on the development side, I think would probably be a great addition. Yes. I think the only question is, you know, is having another FSU representative, is that an issue? So, and whatever your opinion is, I think the nominating committee may ask how the board feels about that, even though there's no policy against it. There's nothing in the bylaws against it, but the nominating committee may want to hear about that, so... be happy to convey any opinions or recommendations you might have related to that. And Kevin was very understanding of that potential issue as well, which is why he called me today.
Oh, did you have a chance to talk to Tom Allen?
I did. Well, I didn't talk to Tom. I sent him the information. I have not heard a response.
Some of you may know Tom Allen. He was a former board member, sat here, I think, 4, 5, 6 years on the board, rotated off. I happened to see him at lunch a couple of days ago at the Governor's Club. He made a comment to me, I wouldn't mind serving again on that board. So we've suggested to Ron to reach out to him to get his application in or whatever. I think it's important that we give to our representative on the nominating committee some direction as to who we feel, maybe in a choice of 1, 2, or 3, that we would like to see move into these two seats. It once upon a time, this board had no input at all. I think Kristen perhaps was more than anyone else responsible for seeing to it that we did get at least a seat on the nominating committee and were able to put in our suggestions relative to who best could fit the needs that we have. And so now that Ann will be making her position, our position known, what is our position? Floor is open for discussion.
If I could add, they will be forwarding all applicants that they receive by, I think, August 5th to the nominating committee. So if there's anyone else who needs to apply, that's why I don't have a final list yet, because they're still accepting through August 5th. But.
And can you remind us about the interplay between the board for the incubator and the board and our board? In terms of, like, how many members, are we still looking to fill out that board? You know, what's the status?
And so right now there are three board members, and it's the current chair, vice chair, and treasurer. Kim has not officially sent in his resignation for the nonprofit board yet. I've asked him if he would consider doing that. I'm assuming he doesn't want to continue to do that. So we will need to fill that position. The only thing in the bylaws of the nonprofit is that the majority of the board members are appointed by the LCRDA board. So other than that, the nonprofit board has to decide on accepting other members. So we can grow that board. We haven't done a lot yet because we're still sort of getting things in place. But yeah, that's the relationship.
And and at one point, I think when we were setting it up, we were thinking, well, maybe people could serve on the incubator board as kind of a way to get
transition
right as a pipeline to our board, or vice versa. But you know, that may be something to think about. I think Bill Holloman would be a tremendous resource for the board because of his background, and everything that he does is around intellectual property, and it's nice to have that perspective. So whether that would be something for the incubator board or for our board, I guess he's formally applied.
And the nonprofit is also going to have an advisory board who will be actually reporting to Michael. I don't even like calling it a board, it's a group. And even that bill would be excellent for. Those are the folks who will help decide on admissions and mentoring or coaching some of the members. So there's lots of places Bill could add value. So, and we did have that discussion with him last time when Ray was taken instead of him. But,
Well, and I think
an advisory council or something.
Something like that, yes. Right. We haven't created it formally yet, but we have a few people we've been talking to who have expressed interest in it, and we're working on that.
I just think it's an awkward situation when someone raises their hand and they have expertise, and then we don't have them join the board. Then,
and that's why I reached
out to them. Lose interest or feel negatively.
He totally understood,
especially
when it was Ray, and he also just basically said, "Let me know how I can help."
Yeah,
I'll help however I can.
Okay. I agree with you on that one. I also agree with Kevin. Kevin's amazing. Just very resourceful, just on top of it. I just don't, for the purpose of voting, I mean, what is Kevin, if Kevin and we both have two FSU representatives serving, would not be.
I don't think it's a conflict of interest, but. Do you think differently, Ron?
Because I think it's more about service, and these folks are going to bring with them ethics anyway, so is it about having the right people at the table?
His background, and what he can do in the community and otherwise, that is hard to replace.
One vote is not tip the scale.
Exactly. So.
I guess a potential conflict that would come up is to the extent this organization is voting on something that could potentially be good or bad for FSU, but that conflict already exists for all of you, in your capacities with whatever company or organization.
And there's already an opinion that we've received that basically says it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not a conflict if you're acting in your role, and I don't remember the specifics of it, but it is not, for the three of you, it is not a conflict for you to vote on something related to your organization.
And his position would be different, too, in the sense that he's a board member that's been, that's on through one of the official higher ed positions.
Right. So he's a community member who just happens to work for FSU.
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know him at all, so take everyone's recommendation on that. His experience sounds great on the real estate front.
Yeah. and engager. I mean, he engages at the highest level, so just I would support Pam. I don't know where everybody else sits on it.
When I first came on the board, there was a real adversarial feeling between the academia on the board and the business community on the board. I think it's long past us.
I think so, too.
I don't see that being a problem at all anymore. But there was some feel that it shouldn't be weighted in favor of academia. As I repeat again, I don't see that a problem today. But that's the history of how we got where we are and why we were thinking the way we were once upon a time. Are we beginning to solidify on two names, and should we have three, or is two all we need, or what's your thought?
Well, I think the challenge is we won't have all the applications in yet.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can...
Well, we won't meet again.
Yeah.
Before she has to go and make her presentation.
I mean, I can send, as soon as I get all the applications in, I can forward those to all of you.
I think
that would be great. That would be good.
So I'll have those on the 5th.
And maybe a two or three sentence... something on each individual.
Just. I'd rather not weigh in.
I think you had two or three sentences about what position they had in the community or something else or whatever.
Okay.
I don't need to bow. Don't think anybody else
will. How detailed is the application?
The application's got all of it in there.
Yeah. Then maybe just send
they've got their bio in there.
Yeah,
it's not extensive. It's an easy read.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. What we will do is comment, Kristen?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was trying to wait till the end there. As Ron said, the application submitted to the county is really easy read. Some of them do include resumes, some do not. Going back, Ms. Mayor, to your question earlier about dual office, there's never been a conflict, but on this subject, I'm going to vote on it as county commissioner, so I'm going to stay out of the conversation here, but I'm going to say the same thing I've said in past years, that communication with other members of the county commission before the September meeting is good from our chair, vice chair, others to support the nominating committee, share any other thoughts you might have. So I just encourage you all to do that. It is not something that I will be engaged in, obviously. So just because we don't have another meeting and we may see other good applicants. The other comment I would make is that one applicant you will see is Patrick O'Brien, recently returned to Tallahassee, son of Mont O'Brien, head of PMH, obviously. I think Patrick, he's very energetic. He's really eager to get involved. And if not the Innovation Park Board, I would strongly encourage us to look at Patrick for the foundation board or something else. So I just wanted to highlight him because we've talked about it before. Someone younger who's really wants to be engaged might be a nice voice to have on that foundation board. And that's it, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to.
He's a Harvard law grad. Served in a lot of internships and things and with political office holders.
And is obviously well connected to the community. When will you propose that we would start considering council member nominees?
The advisory? You're talking about the advisory?
The advisory council member nominees.
That will actually be up to the IPTLH board, the nonprofit board.
Yeah. When do you believe they should address that?
Probably in the next month or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I think we have come to the conclusion that we will allow staff to publish to us by electronic means the names of all of those who have, I guess, made their names available to be considered. We will then come back to Ron with just here's the two I like.
I would, Ms. Chairman?
Yep.
I would be very hesitant. On a personal level, you want to call the executive director and weigh in, that's cool. I'd be very hesitant as a board that does not have final authority. The county commission does by way of the nominating committee. You don't want to get in a situation where the county commission decides to go in one direction and maybe they were number two or number three on a public record.
Yeah.
I'm very hesitant to even formally recommend people, quite honestly, out of this board when there's several layers that will be doing that, mm-hmm. unless there is a very offensive problem with an individual that needs to be addressed, I'm very comfortable with saying, I got a great group. Now, as an individual, if you want to call somebody nominated, or if you want to call a county commissioner personally and weigh in, that, you know, that's your own responsibility. But I'm very hesitant about public character assassinations and picking winners and losers when we actually don't even have the authority to pick the winners and losers. I just, you know, I'm conscious of that kind of stuff. I would hate to throw my name in the hat and have this board say, yeah, Daly's my number three. Because it is all public record at the end
right.
of the day.
Yeah.
And so having these type of public conversations on who we recommend and stuff, I'm always very hesitant about doing. That's my two cents.
Kristen, I'd be interested in your comment on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually, John, you know instantly how challenging this is, even when you get to city, county, or county commission meetings, and we are looking at multiple good candidates. You all know this, it's delicate. Ron, check me on this, but I don't think in the past our board has taken a vote
they have
to
not.
Recommend one person. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So my gut feeling on this is in line with the mayor, that I think with one little caveat, I think not having a vote from our board is a good thing. I don't think we should lean in that hard, and we can't right now because the applications are not all in hand yet. The period hasn't closed. On the other hand, the reason why we pushed to have a representative from our board on the nominating committee was because everyone on the committee prior to that wasn't involved day to day. And I think county administrator, others have appreciated this, they really do want to know what the board, by way of our representative, feels about different candidates and who we need on the board. So I think talking with Ron is good, allowing Ron to have conversations with Ann, I think I heard that correctly, that she would be on the nominating committee again,
yes.
is good. And then once the nominating committee makes the decision and say they recommend one name or two names to the county commission, that's the point where I would really suggest individual board members, if you feel strongly, or at least the chair, vice chair, can lean in. But in general, that may be a little more than you want, Mr. Chair. I agree with the mayor, but I do want to remember that we did want a role in this conversation, and that came in the form of having someone on the nominating committee. So we need to use that as our voice in this process. Does that help?
Yeah, I think it sort of says a little bit on one side, a little bit on the other.
It's a balance, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, before when the county would make those decisions, the county was doing it based on who they liked and who they felt could do a good job, but without any input from this body as to what we thought we needed to balance out the professionalisms and the different things that individuals could bring to the board. So we felt like that was important to get a nominee on the nomination, to get a member on the nominating committee that would give some direction to the county, I guess, in that process of here's why this body feels this person is the right one because they have an expertise that we need.
Well, the commission's going to look at Kristen for that. So here's how it's going to go down. You're going to be sitting in the county commission meeting because this is what I used to do. I used to look at Kristen and go, you serve on that board. Would you please make the motion and recommend who you would like to serve with on that board? I mean, it's just like when they're making appointments to other boards, if there are county commissioners that serve on that board, they're going to look at Eric and go, Eric, who's the appropriate person to put on? So if anything, Kristen's going to be driving this train as a county commissioner, no matter, because they're probably going to look at her and go, Kristen, who do you recommend? Will you please make a motion?
Yep. Sounds good to me. Everybody happy with where we are on this?
Yeah.
All right. You're still going to publish all the names to their board, and we will at least be able to say, boy, this one really worries me, or whatever. Okay, all right.
It's under your name.
Yeah, yeah. All right, the Collins Incubator name initial meeting, excuse me, initial member agreements.
Oh, director. This is my report. Thank
yes.
you. Okay. I added just a few items on the agenda, so I want to make sure that I cover them, because we've got a lot of stuff that's going on right now. And I sent you all an email out on the incubator names, and I just want you to know this is a hard thing to do.
It's very hard to do.
It is so hard. Mm-hmm. And trust me, we didn't take it lightly. We have even internally been debating some of these ideas, and we did ask April and Heidi Otway to take a look at this, and we did not give them a lot of background on the incubator and what the objectives were, and you know, there wasn't a lot of discussion. It was like, hey, here's three ideas. What do you think? And they told us. So, and Heidi did come back with a few ideas. We tweaked it a little bit, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but I just kind of wanted to hear some feedback. I will tell you that the one that they, but no, I'll just wait and just let's get some independent, unbiased feedback from members other than April.
The only one that I could get to, because I asked for clarification, I said, oh, are you just talking about the people that we'd attract, or you want the rest of us to understand what this means, too, with some of these terms? So the only one that catches me is an imagine, because it's innovation, and I'm thinking you're thinking about imagination. Mm-hmm. For me, that was my number three.
You'll get your chance.
I'm fine.
Does anyone else have any thoughts on any of these ideas?
The issue of trying to peg it to magnetism might narrow what we are all
exactly.
about. Obviously, magnetism is what this community believes can be our future, mm-hmm. something we can hang our hat on. But what this park is all about is not just magnetism. It's about many other things. So I'd rule out number one and number two. So those are my personal opinions. What does our director of the project over here think?
I think that your opinions are the most important. At least number three, I will say this, number three has mag in it, if
yeah.
you wanted to play off of that from the marketing point of view, but it is not pigeonholed to mag only.
That's not yeah. what you look at.
And so it kind of achieves all of the goals out of the three that are presented there.
I guess what I'm looking at is just from a person that would be interested in moving into the incubator. They might not have a connection with the magnetic industry.
Right.
So is that going to add value? And are we, I'm thinking like if we're trying to attract something, we really need to be speaking in their language to what gains traction with them, not us pushing it out to them.
By comparison, what's the official official name of the UF facility in Alachua?
In Alachua, it's the Sid Martin Biotech Incubator.
Okay. So
in Gainesville, it's Innovation Hub.
Okay.
Simple.
Mm-hmm. So an alternative, yeah. something rather generic, mm-hmm. finding someone to name it after, for example, something, some characteristic description of the area.
So something more generic.
Yeah.
Like Northwest Florida.
Innovation. Something.
Center or something. Venture center.
Yeah, part of the problem is it might be deemed a little bit too kidsy for a lot of people, and therefore it doesn't really it gets discounted. You know, if it has a really official-sounding name. Now, maybe that's wrong. I don't know. It's just
everything you're saying. We've talked about. And we've heard, and we have heard that feedback. So you're absolutely right. And that's the decision, and April's going to weigh in here in a second and tell us from marketing standpoint and brand building standpoint, you know, what you're looking at in these choices. And that was the, that's the trade-off. Do you try to create a brand? And, I've been throwing out to staff, Dummy Station. How many people initially knew what Dummy Station was? And now they have a pretty strong brand in the community, okay, at least locally. And they built that brand, but it has nothing to do with what they actually do. And then you look at when, and we've done a lot of Googling with different name ideas to try to see, well, what's everybody else calling theirs and trying to stay away from that stuff, and that's really hard. So we looked at a lot of different ways, and I even sent you a link to some, there was a place in Massachusetts that was opening up. They actually ran a contest. There's a website you can get. So have people to help you name your business.
My least favorite way of naming anything.
Yes.
Yeah. A contest.
But it was interesting.
And then people can vote on it.
But it was interesting to see all of the different ideas that they had.
Right.
And different plays on words and things. And so we see a lot of something Venture Center. And Michael's going to tell you about a place we visited recently. But it's called First Flight Venture Center. Okay? It's a venture center. Okay? Which... Venture Center helps keep things open. That's the other part of this conversation, is what do you put after this that makes it more descriptive. But I'm going to shut up now and let April talk.
Can I make a comment quick before we get the official opinion from me? I'm sure I'll agree with. Just looking at the conversation, I would lean more towards the branded name. I think anything... location-wise, I mean, it's the park, it's other things that will be focused on North Florida. But I have to say, Lodestone, if I'm saying that correctly, stuck out to me because I agree that I didn't want it leaning too much towards magnets or, the Mag Lab alone. But this may be just me. I've been fatiguing a little bit on innovation everything, and that's not Innovation Park. We've been here for a long time, but everyone's got an innovation center. And I just wondered if the last one might be too close to that, although it is pretty creative. So I like where you were going. Lodestone, unless you really know it's related to magnetite, it's kind of a nod to the Mag Lab, but not specific.
But I will leave it there, and I like the Venture Center, too. So I'll put myself back on mute. Just wanted to hear your opinion. I'll throw out a thought I had, just simply Florida Innovates. And it's bigger than who we really are, but Florida State is considered a Florida university for all of Florida or whatever. But I just thought Florida Innovates was who we are, what we do.
Ms. April, you
want to
take us out of the suspense?
Well, I think this is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
And the reason that Domi has built a brand, because their audience is very compact. It's very clear their audience is here in Tallahassee. Yeah. So within a small geographic range, it's easier to educate people about that.
That's true.
Although I would venture to say that there's probably a large percentage of the Tallahassee population, not the people in this room, who have no idea what Dummy Station is or that it even exists. So the challenge with coming up with these very creative names that, as you say, too cutesy names, is that you have to explain it to people. You have to go through an effort to explain what it means so that they can relate to it. And that costs money, and that takes time. And I always say, if you're explaining, you're losing.
Yeah.
So, you want people to know what it is, unless you have the money behind it to support the brand, which we know we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that the more straightforward it is, the better off we're going to be. I mean, it could be that in a few years, once it's really established and you have marketing money, you could, create something a little bit different to tweak it, but I just feel like you're going to keep explaining it over and over and over again. What is that exactly? You're going to explain it to legislators. You're going to explain it to, potential tenants. You're going to explain it over and over and over again. So I think it's better to be straightforward
And I like the venture. I think that's and I guess I would look at, and we spent, Heidi and I collectively probably spent 15 minutes on this. So don't, you know, it's not, generally branding, it's a big process. So it's not something we've spent 15 minutes on. And so I would just suggest, you know, some tie-in with what it actually is, which is an incubator.
Well,
or a venture center.
Venture center is better. Incubator is too confining because there's acceleration that's going to go on.
Right.
Some other things. So.
Right.
So no cutesy names. By the way, Heidi's idea was Inmagine.
Yeah.
But we thought that sounded too much like a place you stay overnight.
Right. Right.
It's like, you know, innovation meeting your imagination, and then it becomes this venture center.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Quick question for April. Unless I'm interrupting someone?
Go!
So, April, are you, I think you've got a great point there, and if we're marketing more out, you know, as much outside our community as in our community, that resonates with me. So are you suggesting a North Florida Venture Center or Capital Venture Center? That sounds a bit weird.
Michael had that idea.
Something like that might be good for us, and then I'm going to say left behind Austin from hurricanes to economic investment. If we want more attention on North Florida, I mean, I'm not opposed to that. I think it's a good thing overall, and distinguishing ourselves from UCF or something else like that that is location specific. But it's that kind of
I mean, I think you could go with something very straightforward, like, you know, Northwest Florida Innovative Venture Center or something like that. Or, you know, I like the InImagine because I think it does pull a number of things together. But, you know, I think this is a bigger discussion than we probably need to have as a board. I just don't think we should go to Lodestone or Magnetum or, you know, unless you were going to...
Well,
we need to explain what
here's where we're at.
We're doing.
So we're getting ready to, and you've probably seen some of seen the agreement. The nonprofit board has to approve an agreement, a standard agreement, membership agreement, that we're going to use to start marketing the space. So the space is there now. It's going to be ready next week. So we need to start moving and marketing this thing. They're actually a month ahead of us, which is why we're sort of rushing this in. We didn't expect them to be ready until, you know, end of September.
This is a DBA anyway, though, right?
It's a DBA for the Innovation Park TLH Inc.
Yeah.
But we still need to start sort of putting names on things.
Yeah.
And we have a prospect already, so we'd like to have a name that we could, you know, put on this. And I don't think we need to, not to undersell the value of what you do, but I don't think we need to overthink this. If people like again, it's all
the time too.
Yeah.
I said you say that to me all the time too.
But I just think we need to make a decision and move. And again, Domi Station, you're right. There's a large segment of people that don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the people who most of the people need to know.
Right.
So. There is an element of building it. We are not building a national brand. It is a regional brand. I like the connection to Innovation Park, but frankly, if you're just going to go with a name, it could just be the Innovation Park Venture Center. You know, if you want that kind of connection. If you want, I do like InImagine in that it is a little more creative. It does inspire, you know, different views of what we're doing. And as far as the other piece of that, labs, tech labs, center, venture work, center works, I don't really care a whole lot about that. Venture center is sort of more all-encompassing, but it's also used a lot.
Is it a new up-and-coming phrase, or is it everybody's been calling things that for 20 years?
15 years.
15 years. Is there a new thing that people are calling?
Enterprise. Everything that we did that standardized that we thought would work was taken in every variation for websites, for everything. And so that's what made it even more difficult. because, yeah, everything should be simplified.
What do you think about works, though? I mean, that, I think Michael had that idea, in Imagine Works.
Yeah, so what I was doing with works is I was thinking about, most of my work was in the defense arena, and I was thinking about Skunk Works and how cool that is, and it resonates with the scientists and engineers. And so works is kind of a new term. I get newer terms than Skunk Works.
But it is less descriptive, though, than Venture Center or...
Oh, absolutely. But again, it's available.
Yeah.
Versus what's not available. If you want to keep with consistency in your marketing effort, right? So emails and websites.
Well, I've thrown up what I would go with and imagine Venture Center, but that's just me because, again, it points to... what we anticipate happening.
And as long as it's Venture Center and not VC, if you use the acronym, then I'm good with that because VC in my world is venture capitalist. So that's the other thing I don't want to confuse it with. Mm-hmm. But if we spelled it all out and didn't put it into an acronym, then it works.
Could be the IVC.
Yeah.
Because actually, I used to be the president of IBC.
There you go. You'd be the president again, right?
Other comments? Other suggestions? We're not really pulling one together that's
right. Sounds like Imagine Venture Center is what I'm hearing.
That's close to anything I've heard. Yeah. Are we comfortable with that? Let's go with that. Let's put that on the table.
Well, if I may, I was just interested in Eric's comment because he represents a lot of scientific and engineering research, and if it seems silly to that target audience, or less serious, I should say.
What I'm thinking of is, you know, biotech. Biotech companies got all kinds of strange names and things like that. And you can't tell who's doing what based on the name, necessarily. Some of them are rather planning. One I was involved with is Northwest Biotherapeutics. Pretty clear what was going on.
Yeah.
Another one was called Scholar. Now, it had nothing to do with scholarship. It was just an acronym for something related to drug delivery sort of things.
Right, right.
And everyone, you go to a meeting, and someone would say, oh, I work for Scholar. Oh, what's that? And you get what April was saying, explaining things. That's just my bias. You know, some of the big biotech companies, Biogen, Amgen, things like that, it's not as squirrely as some of them get or can get.
But do you think Venture Center?
Well, I like the Venture Center part.
That's
very clear what it is.
Okay.
And the North Florida makes sense. You call Leon for Leon County or County Venture.
We don't want to call it that. We want to be regional.
Yeah.
Okay.
You call it the Big Bend Venture Center or
something that is
Or just Innovation Park Venture Center.
Well, I think that in my opinion, I like the Big Bend or the North Florida more than Innovation Park.
I think so as well. I think it has to have a distinct name for the area that
I
like the geographic spin.
Say again, Paul.
I like the geographic spin on it because when people or companies are looking at places to relocate, they're tying with a specific body or area of a state or that they're trying to associate themselves with. And I think the Big Bend would be really good for us to do something like that if we want to stay for, I don't know, regionally.
You like Big Bend better than North Florida?
Yes. North Florida could be anywhere.
I like North Florida only because I think for people outside of the region, they don't have no idea.
What is a Big Bend, right?
Whereas I think North Florida would have greater appeal for people outside of the city.
There is a Coast Bend Venture Center,
mm-hmm.
Which is in Corpus Christi, Texas. Coast Bend.
So the only other...
But aren't you trying to bring attention to the Big Bend? North Florida is anywhere on the north side of Florida, right? You're never going to put it on the map, but you don't put it on the map, right?
Sure.
Jacksonville could stand behind North Florida, Pensacola, anywhere, right?
Jacksonville calls themselves the capital of North Florida.
North Central Florida?
If I could make one comment on the Big Bend, This was just something that happened recently. In two different conversations, people had never heard about the phrase "the Big Bend." It was from state leadership, and I started wondering if there was more of an internal description. We also have an incredible number of organizations named Big Bend whatever. And so if you're looking for a Google search or something, Denise, you can probably speak to this better, or April or someone else.
She's shaking her head, yes.
I have a little bit of a concern about the Big Bend versus North Central, or, you know, I don't really like North Central, but something else that's location specific. I like that. The Big Bend is concerning to me a little bit.
One other consideration is if we say Florida and we're so close to Georgia, is that going to dissuade anyone? Because we've been looking at some companies in Bainbridge, and quite frankly, they're 45 minutes away.
I don't think it dissuades folks, because we get calls all the time from people from Georgia and Thomasville, and Bainbridge.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So are we sort of feeling like North Florida is a part of the name? Is that, do I hear any opposition to North Florida being a part of the name?
No, I don't.
All right, then let's go a step further. Is it,
well, let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you guys this. If North Florida is the name, why don't we go down the road of simplicity and just call it North Florida Innovation Labs?
Ooh, I like that.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
Everybody,
I like it.
The question is it available?
Yeah.
Well.
North Florida Venture Center?
No, North Florida Innovations Labs.
Innovation Labs.
Is it innovation or innovation?
Florida Hospital Innovation Lab.
Comes up
Innovation
Park.
I like that.
You said where you were.
Because that's North Florida's innovation hub for us.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So are we beginning to feel comfortable with North Florida Innovation Lab?
Is labs descriptive? Is that, would it dissuade anyone who we want to attract?
We kind of play with that. It's, labs can be taken a lot of different ways. It's not just about wet labs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech, I think, has a Innovation Labs.
But at the same time, we're not looking to be going after, like, IT companies, because that would be more dummy station. So I think labs gives our focus of the niche that we're actually looking to go towards.
I mean, there's offices, but they're generally connected with laboratory type research or physical laboratories, and it's, whether it's dry lab, cell culture lab, wet lab, electronics lab.
Trying to figure out a domain name for that.
NFL,
right. That's what I started to die. That was like, yeah.
I was thinking of getting out there.
NFL Innovation.
I think you can also, you might
even
be creative in the suffix. The, you know, instead of a .com, they now have a ton of them, and there may be something like .science. .sci or something like that.
That's
a great point.
Okay, we're spending a long time on this one. Let me just say, the last one I heard that sort of seemed to have little opposition was North Florida Innovation Lab.
Labs.
What did I say?
Oh, I think they were just clarifying to me.
Oh, lab. North Florida Innovation Lab?
Yeah,
labs. That's one of all suggestions.
Plurals.
Plural labs.
Yeah. I might labs. Be with the see if we're trying to be a little bit.
Now you've given it 30 more minutes.
Can we ask our two experts how they feel about that?
Sure. Our experts, number one and number two. I hear a nod yes on number one.
I wouldn't mind that. I'm good with that.
And number two?
I'm good with it.
That's good with that.
That's one of Michael, but that's
oh, okay.
All right, let's see if we can get a motion for North Florida Innovation Labs.
So move approvals.
There's a motion and a second. Is there a further discussion?
Yep.
Those in favor of adopting the name North Florida Innovation Labs, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries.
You did.
Yeah. Paul, you don't get to resign now. You can stay on.
There you go.
As long as you can call in, you can stay on the board.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know it was a little tedious there, but we definitely needed your input on this one. Because we couldn't, the three of us couldn't agree on anything.
DRC resignation and a vacancy.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that we did have a resignation from the Development Review Committee for Innovation Park. Pat Coy resigned. So we will need to fill that. I will try to get some new folks, some architects to consider being on the board or on the committee. And the Innovation Park, the LCRDA board will make that appointment. We'll have that for you next time. The trail, we're waiting on the contract to move up the chain at Leon County. I think some people are on vacation, and hopefully we'll have that back shortly and be able to start construction within the next few weeks. We did get the bids in. We were able to keep it within budget with a couple little modifications, so it should be ready to go hopefully within the next couple of weeks.
You expect to have it before New Year's?
I've stopped trying to project when I'm going to get this, but my hope is that late September.
That will be under construction or ready to open?
Late September, early October.
Ready to open. Yeah, okay.
We're working on with OEV on bringing a tour of state government folks to Innovation Park. We've got DEO expressing interest, the director expressing interest in coming out, so we're trying to make it a bigger deal with the governor's office and EFI, Enterprise Florida, to come out and be part of that tour, but OEV is going to take the lead and work with different organizations because they kind of did it the last time, and they've got staff to help put all that together. So Eric, someone will probably be reaching out to you or Gary to help us with that. But we're trying to get FAMU, Centennial Building involved. We may even look at a couple of state organizations that are out here, like DOT. We're weighing whether that makes sense or not, but we'll deal with that. My annual evaluation is coming up, and I will be sending you the survey that has all the questions on it. As part of the policy change, or the recommendations from the Compensation Committee, they suggested adding. They were okay with the basic format, but they wanted to add specific goals. So my assumption is that will take effect for next year, because otherwise I would have about a month or two. Like the
You could complete those goals in a month.
So, but I will need for y'all to start thinking about that, and maybe that's something for the executive committee, Mr. Chair, that they might want to undertake to figure out the goals and then bring it to the board, and we'll work on that. We have the budget committee meetings coming up. That is April, Paul, and again, this is still this year, so no changes. April, Paul, if you're around, Dr. Friday Stroud and or Keith, and Dr. Bai. That will be probably the week of September 9th. And Peggy and I will be working that schedule. I'm trying to reach out to you all and get that set up. We can probably move it a week if we have to, but the way it has to flow with the executive committee meeting after that and then to the board, typically that's the way it works out. Just a couple of things I wanted to point out from my report. FSU IT Services has moved out of the Morgan Building as of yesterday. And the importance of that is our cash flow just went down substantially. Mm-hmm. The good news is we worked with them and they left behind 14 desks that we're going to move over to the Collins Building to put into the offices for the incubator. So then we also got three conference tables, which will help reduce my budget a little bit on the furniture we need to get. So. I was able to attend the master planning meeting for FSU. It's very interesting where they're headed. They're really looking hard at this area here. One of the interesting things that they're doing is they're no longer allowed to call this the Southwest Campus. Apparently, it's because of accreditation. I don't know how much you're on this, but because of their accreditation process, they're not allowed to call it a campus if they don't have an administration there.
Yeah, from COC perspective, it brings up a whole lot of additional requirements, and basically, if a campus means you would have to have a whole nother administrative team, offices, like everything would have to be separate. So it's really just another build. I mean, you know, they'd have to call it a building or buildings underneath the main campus to not have to go through a whole lot of substantive change.
And they're not even going to call it the main campus anymore, apparently, because that's sort of diminishes the other campuses. So this will be the Tallahassee campus. But anyway, there were some interesting pieces that they put into the plan. It's still in draft form, but to me, that was one of the pieces. Now, they're not, the marketing issue is going to be something else, because one of the things we've sort of had discussions about is how do you market what FSU is doing without diminishing Innovation Park. And I've made that point very clear. They're very cognizant of it, and they're trying to address that. They are calling this, for planning purposes, they're calling this area the Discovery District. So, but that's, again, not for marketing purposes, but for, or wayfinding or any of that. It's just for planning purposes. And they've taken their whole master plan and sort of broken up all these different areas into districts, for planning purposes. So they've already started planning the corridor for the new airport gateway road that's coming through, and what they're thinking about in terms of how they're going to do that. It's very interesting. They're looking at things like having a town center kind of concept on part of that road, and trying to draw people there, because their plan goes way beyond Innovation Park, because they own all that ground out to the east and to the west. They're talking about adding trails that connect to our trail, a trail from here over to the rec fields, and a road to connect from here to the rec fields. So, again, all of that's in the plan. It's very interesting, and when I have something I can share, I will. They don't give me anything in writing. I probably already said more than I was supposed to. But anyway, that's kind of the key stuff. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up, and I'll let Michael talk about some of the others.
Michael, you have four.
So I've been working a lot with the EDA grant, the FAST grant, and I'll just go over some of the things that are highlighted in the report that I gave you. With the EDA grant, Ron and I met with Greg today on July 24th to get some direction and clarification on the new disaster supplement that we're told will be coming out probably the first 2 weeks in August, so right around the corner. So it's already gone through the federal stuff, and now it's got to go down to the regional areas, which is the Atlantic region. We're roughly going to get the same amount as last year for the Atlantic region, which is $147 million. So we'll be in pretty good shape to take a little portion of that if we can. A couple of interesting things. He asked us to really look at the investment priorities of EDA. And last year, the investment priorities included recovery and resilience, critical infrastructure, workforce and manufacturing, exports, and foreign direct investment. And it's interesting because we had three of the four. We don't do much in export and foreign direct investment. But this year, they've added a fifth category, which is opportunity zones. And so he said there's going to be a lot of preference for those located in the opportunity zones. And that's kind of the direction we were left with. So three out of five at that point. However, on investigating the language in the investment priorities, opportunity zones is either directly located in or directly benefiting those in the surrounding areas, and that's where I think we can now highlight. So, for instance, I found that we have seven opportunity zones within 5 miles of this location. We have 11 within 30 miles, so call that commuting distance. And if you really want to go for a stretch, there's 21 opportunity zones within 60 miles. So I'm working on language to play up those things, because some of that 60-mile radius is actually a more direct travel time within 45 minutes, depending on how you look at commuting time. So I think we're able to take four of the five of the investment priorities, and so it's going to look fairly strong in that regard to apply again this year, and he's encouraging us to do so. Also, I'm working on a new nexus with the help of OEB folks. I mentioned the opportunity zones, but also enhancing the resiliency plan. Sorry, I'm getting tongue twisted. And so those are the things that I'm working on now, so that we have a very persuasive argument that we are doing this resiliency efforts. for the new facility. The FAST grant, as you may know, was submitted in June on the 26th, and we're waiting for a determination. Coincidentally, I got an email last night that said we're going to have a discussion about where they're at in that effort at 3 o'clock today. So I'll know more after 3 o'clock. I have a pretty good feeling about that one. I know that, Mr. Chairman, you asked for percentage of confidence. I hesitate to say that. I'll let you know after the call at 3 o'clock. But that one, and we did receive the letter from the governor, which is required, and so Ann's not here, but thank you, Ann, and everyone else, John included, that it helped us in that effort. SBIR training, I guess you can see there in the report that I was awarded SBA certification for SBIR training, so now I officially know what I'm doing. Interestingly enough, I got a call from FSU's. They want some more programming in that regard, and I'm working on delivering. I'm not going to make August probably because of the timing of the semester. I'd like to do it probably early September. And also, it looks like we're going to get a renewal on the FAMU grant for doing SBIR stuff again for the next fiscal year. I've also been working quite closely with several entrepreneurs that are doing SBIR proposals and submitting them. Just was on a call earlier this morning about it, so trying to get more of that done. And then there's specifics. If you want to know about SBIR, I could talk to you offline, because there's some new changes that came out in March 2019. The Collins building, I guess Ron had talked about, but also we do have a prospect not only for wet labs but for office space as well. And I think that'll probably be most appropriate at the next meeting with the incubator group. But it's nice that we're getting prospects without formally advertising yet, especially without a name.
And that one actually came through Domi, somebody they don't really, I think, want in their facility. Not because they're bad, but because they have too much space.
For what they're doing. Well, actually, that's part of the collaboration and partnering we're doing with all of the entrepreneurial ecosystem partners. Domi is handing off, if you will, those that are more appropriate for our facility, and we're going to do the same for them and anywhere else that happens to be the best fit for that entrepreneur, because we're all about enhancing the entrepreneurial experience for the entire system. But also in that regard, I know that Denise mentioned the mentor database. The mentor database, just to be clear, is not a Domi effort. Domi happens to be doing some of the programming for it, but it is an effort that came out of the Jim Rand School, also FAMU, Innovation Park, TCC's Innovation Center. We all decided to partner and come up with an overarching, if you will, an umbrella mentor database that we're then refining to each individual organization. So that's one of the efforts that we're doing, and we're working on our branding right now on that database that should be out early August for you all to review if you'd like. And then Ron and I traveled to First Flight Venture Center in North Carolina. If you don't know, that's their motto in North Carolina, First Flight, for obvious reasons, with the Wright brothers. But we went there not for the name. We went there to find out how they do a couple of things very specific to what it is that we were trying to do. In fact, when I looked if there was anyone else doing what I wanted to propose, they were the only ones I could find. And coincidentally, I met with the director up in Minneapolis at the NDIA conference, and he said, yeah, come on up and we can have a chat. Because what we're looking at is how we can possibly pay for somehow grant writing expertise and then receive compensation on the backside after they receive an award, which is federally illegal.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
However, they're getting away with it, so we went up there to do investigate.
What we're trying, it's not that they're getting away with it. They have structured something in a way that we are still trying to understand and will review with legal counsel before we move forward with it. But it's very interesting what they're doing. And as Michael said, what they have is exactly what we'd like to get to. Now, we'd like to have it all in one building. They've got some stuff spread out. But they have been very creative in the way they've developed this. And it's a standalone nonprofit, not affiliated with any of the universities. In the triangle, but It's sort of developed over time. It started out as a real estate play and it migrated into being an actual incubator, very heavy on wet labs. And other, well, they're all pretty much wet labs. But also, you know, office space and mixed use. They had a prototype development area. That was the part that was in different buildings. We actually learned something interesting, which is, it may sound silly, but it's good to have all the stuff that makes dust in one space, even though it might be metal and wood together, and then you create a vacuum system that deals with that. So just little things like that we learned. They were doing 3D printing, and they're doing, like I said, wood and metal. It was pretty interesting.
So we're following up with some of those things. Interestingly enough, they started with a $50,000 growth accelerator fund grant from SBA, which they asked me not to apply for when I had a conference call with them because we hadn't been officially in business long enough yet, but they want me to apply for next year when we're in business. So
they being SBA?
I'm sorry?
They being SBA.
SBA, yes. Yeah. And then one of the interesting things Denise mentioned, one of the primary benefits is they list all of the equipment that's available there, and I think that really helps to enhance and differentiate your facility from anything else that's operating in the region, and they have quite the list, and Ron mentioned some of the things. And then the last part is we asked to meet with their grant writing experts, and we did, and their grant writing experts have, there's some information there, have a lot of experience. They have 700 clients, 30 employees, and they're a full-time, a full-service grant management facility, meaning that they do the proposals, they do the reporting, they do the taxes, and they represent the companies in an audit. So that's a lot of the pain that a lot of entrepreneurs feel when they're going for some of these grants, and if they can offload that to someone who has expertise in it, then that's great. And they've offered to assist us in those grant writing opportunities as well. Now, caveat is they're very expensive. So we're looking for ways to offset that expense, and that's why we went up there to look at how they do that. And so details, again, I could talk to you offline. But that's basically what we've been doing since the last time we met.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Nothing more important, though, than this big grant opportunity coming up, opening up August, first week of August, you think?
He said a week or weeks.
Yeah.
I would hesitate to say the first. I would say by the 15th it should be out, and okay. We are probably 98% prepared to immediately respond to that solicitation, and I told you about what I'm working on to help catch up so that we're 100% prepared when it comes out. Because
and you think early in helps?
Timing is absolutely very important because they don't have a cutoff date. They fund things as they come in, and when they run out of money, they're done. So, yes, we want to be first in.
And, Eric, we are going to need an updated commitment letter for the matching funds.
From Gary?
Yeah. We're waiting for the opportunity to be announced to have the numbers and stuff that you can reference in the letter, but just let you know.
So basically, he can just redo, change the date in the letter. The same text is fine.
Change the date and change the reference to the funding opportunity, funding opportunity, or NOFO.
But I can change. Yeah.
So he'll be sending it. I just wanted to.
If you can make a draft, send it to me. I'll get it signed.
We're also going to have to get that from OEB
partner letters as well. Just
yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All of the partners, I'll have to get a fresh letter. But again, I've been holding off until the announcement, so I have the numbers, basically. Okay. But I have all the drafts.
Is there any opportunity, you think, at all this time for FAMU to step up and help out? As did FSU, as did...
As far as matching funds go?
You know, I really can't answer that because...
What would you feel that way?
Jeez, you were looking at me,
no,
I got scared.
I have to defer to my boss, who's here.
I would say I don't think that there is much likelihood, given a lot of the other things that are priorities that are going on campus, but, you know, we can ask and see. But if it is, it won't be a lot. Pretty much tell you that. Because there's really only one source of funds to get it from, which would be the foundation. The foundation is pretty taxed right now with some other priorities, but yeah. We can ask.
I think we got 500 from FSU, we got 500 from Blueprint. We put in 180.
No.
Two and a half million and 1.8 million, yeah. And then we were trying to get to 10.2.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate the question and conversation about CMU. Shante, it would be wonderful to have CMU as a strategic partner in the future, but what Michael just described, what he and Ron have been doing to position us so that we can apply the moment the NOFA comes out is really where we need to be. Last year, I'm still impressed that we put together $6.8 million in less than 2 months. I mean, that's something no one in our community has done. Our board, staff, OED, our partners, FSU, we were able to do that. But we still apply towards the end of the cycle. So I would strongly suggest not waiting for any other formal approvals if we can help it. We need to allow Michael, Ron to submit the application the moment they can. So that was the first thing. The second thing, I mentioned this to Ron yesterday in an email, and I should pause and congratulate TCC, Kim, your team, receiving $1.25 million for the training center was exceptional. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the invite to dinner, because I was able to talk with our regional rep and the secretary, others. I think it was really good for them to be in our community this close to applications coming into the disaster supplement. Kim, I'm sure you felt the same, but for those of us who weren't part of TCC, Regional Planning Council, myself, it was really an amazing opportunity to meet with them. One of the things I heard from the regional director, Phil Paradise from Atlanta, was that they might be shortening the turnaround process, the EDA review of the grant, eliminating one pre-review step. If that is the case, I think we benefit from the past review, having gone through this process already, and we stand a good chance of getting this grant, but the competition's going to be fierce. So I'll wrap that up and say everything I'm hearing is our guys are in exactly the right mode, and we need to let them move as quickly as possible.
You're here. Anything else, Michael?
Just as a factoid, 60% of the 147 million out of the Atlanta district went to Florida. Just didn't come to us.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting little fact.
One other thing is, we talked about this the last time in regards to FAMU's participation. There might be an opportunity, rather than participating in the construction piece, is that there's more of an annual participation to help the thing, especially when we get trying to get the thing started in Dash 1. That I think that would be probably more appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's worth, you know, we can definitely look at that. I just know the amount that you all were talking about with the time frame you all talking about.
Yeah.
We're not in a position to do that right now. I could run that by Dr. Robinson, but knowing a little bit better enough, we're not in that position.
Yeah, just keep that in mind, assuming we get the
right.
grant that going forward, we will have a 2-year window at least to start
and
looking
at
that.
I think that would definitely probably fit better than we might give it.
Good.
Denise, anything more you wouldn't like to add?
I will just be brief. We've already, like I said, with the marketing plan, if you have any other suggestions, feel free to send me an email. Our next Tech Topics event is going to be on August 28th, so the end of this month in CAPS. We have a new organization in the park called the Institute for Justice and Development. I have the kind of leader of that organization. She's going to be presenting on smart decarceration and using artificial intelligence. It's going to be really interesting. Yeah, so when people are getting out of jail, helping them to adjust better to life. Because if you're in jail for 10 years, you're not going to have an iPhone. You don't even know how to use an iPhone, and there's just so much that's been going on. So they're talking about using that to help them kind of adjust as they move forward in life. It's very interesting. So that's going to be on August 28th, and I'm also having Roger McGinnis from CAPS giving a brief presentation because they have construction going on right now. They're expanding over there. So he's going to provide a little bit of information about what's going on with them. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is we are going to have an e-club event on September 18th at the current agency. We're going to be talking about digital strategy for business. And that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. Becky, anything you want to add? Thank you for all the contributions you make getting us assembled and all the stuff out to us.
Nothing to add.
Okay, property management?
I'll just make this short and sweet. We've just been working on getting the Collins building, you know, besides the construction that's been going on, just some other permissions items, and we're just really excited to get that up and going. That's about it. I mean, we've been soft washing Collins and doing tree trimming and all that good stuff, getting everything ready.
Yeah, the HVA systems have taken a beating.
Right.
They've really been taxed, and we're spending some money trying to get those systems running again. They haven't been used a whole lot.
Yeah.
And the construction process with open doors and open ceilings and all that just really has taxed those systems.
Well, I want to know where we could get some good HVAC air compressors if we need them.
Cheap, too.
Turn it into a freezer.
Let me comment in my last chair appointment here to sit and talk a minute. I guess the only disappointment I had in my 2 years was that we just fell just a little bit short of that grant. I was so convinced we had that thing, I dreamed about it at night. I encourage Kim, I encourage this board, and I encourage Michael and Ron to put that as the absolute highest priority we have. I can see nothing more important than accomplishing that grant, achieving it. I look forward, whether it's a year from now, whatever, to walk over into a new building and see a ribbon cutting and celebrating the North Florida Innovation Labs headquarters building. And calling that a great success. I want to thank the board members for supporting me, for supporting our staff. I think we have an extraordinary good board. They're engaged. They're not fearful of speaking up. They attend the meetings regularly. I thank you for that. I could not be more appreciative of the staff we have. Mm-hmm. I just think that we have assembled, and I give Ron a great deal of credit for this, exceptionally fine team. I look forward to following wherever this board and this team of staff take us. I guess I'll get to serve at least one more year as the meeting past chair. But thank you all. I sincerely have enjoyed working with this team. It is a great team. If there's nothing else, we are adjourned 1 minute past 1 o'clock, which was our goal at 1 o'clock.